So they were able to communicate with Voyager 1, and they ran some tests, you know, to see what the problem was, and they figured out it came from a chip, one of the chips on board one of the computers, and they had to reroute it. They rerouted the information that normally goes back and forth to one of the other computers. And one of the other computers, of course, didn't have enough memory, so they had to split the memory between the other two computers. And they did something along those lines, and they send the commands up. It takes 22 hours to get there and 22 hours to get back. And this went on for quite a while. First, they had to figure out what the problem was, you know, and there was this one guy out in Australia. There's a big dish out there, 210-foot dish, diameter dish, and, you know, with a really good low noise amplifier for 8 gigahertz. And this guy was listening, you know, he looked at the data, not listening, but looked at the data and figured out a pattern, and he figured out what it was doing. And by figuring that out, it was like, you know, breaking a code, and they were able to figure out what this thing was transmitting back. It was trying to transmit the spacecraft. When it doesn't hear from Earth for a certain period of time, it's automatically set up to transmit the health of the spacecraft. So with that information and some other information, the computer guys here on Earth, they had a whole crowd of them. I saw a picture of the room. There must have been about 15 of these people that were working on it, on this problem. They got it working, and sure enough, it got fixed. Some of these people were with the project for decades. One guy, he just passed away, Ed Stone. He was with them from the beginning, before Voyager started. And even like the last 5 or 10 years, he was like semi-retired. He was, you know, still kind of involved, you know, at home with Voyager. But, you know, from 1977 until now, I mean, that's when I launched it. They launched about 2 weeks apart. But it, you know, and sure enough, it's now sending back. In the beginning, when they started sending it back, it was two of the science instruments that they were getting back. And it turns out there's four. They worked on that a little bit longer, and sure enough, now they're getting full science back from the four instruments that are left on Voyager 1. Anyway, back to you, Charlie. WS2S.
This thing was launched in 1977. And can they retrieve this?
No, they're gone forever, you know. I think it's, three or four times the distance of Pluto. So Pluto is, what, 39 astronomical units, so let's call it 40. So you're out to, you know, I think this one is 160-some-odd AU. And Voyager 2 is a little bit closer. I think that's probably around, you know, 130, something like that, AU. Anyway, you go to the website, and they give you constant information on where they are. They're roughly traveling at a little over 30,000, I think 35,000 roughly miles per hour away from Earth, they have these little, you know, these things that you can see. And sometimes it looks like it's getting closer to Earth, which is really weird. It's a weird effect. The reason for it is the way the Earth travels around the Sun. Let's say, you know, picture Voyager way out in space in one location, and the Earth comes around and around the Sun and starts heading in the direction where Voyager is. The Earth is traveling like 60,000 miles an hour. it's faster than Voyager is going away. And but the collective distance, of course, is 30,000, a little over 30,000 miles away from Earth. And, you know, the opposite is true, too. When Earth goes around the Sun and is going away from Voyager, you know, the clock on that you're reading, looks like it's going, you know, instead of like 30,000 miles an hour, it looks like it's probably, you know, 40,000 miles an hour. It looks like it's going faster. You know, it's like the Voyager changes speed or something. And no, it's the Earth just traveling around the sun. But, you know, you go to, I guess, JPL, NASA JPL, that Voyager, and I'm sure you get the URL for it. Back to you, Charlie.
What's propelling Voyager 1 now?
What did they say, Isaac Newton? Nothing's propelling it. It's gone in a forward motion, you know. Once it left Earth's gravity well is roughly 25,000 miles an hour. Orbital speed is 17,500 for let's say low Earth orbit, like the space station. But to break free of Earth's gravity is 25,000 miles per hour. And you know, where'd the other extra speed go? How come it's going over 30,000 miles an hour? And then what happens is they use gravity assist when it passed the other planets. Two Voyagers, went out, past Mars, past Jupiter, past Saturn, and Voyager 1 stopped at that moment. It didn't go to any more planets after that. It just kept going straight out. Voyager 2, they let curve, you know, more or less around the sun and let it continue on. So Voyager 2 went out and visited Uranus and then visited Neptune. Pluto was in the wrong spot at the time, so they couldn't do that. They couldn't visit Pluto in those days. And after that, they're not coming back. Back to you, Charlie.
So if they get into some planet's gravitational pull, this thing could land or crash?
Yeah, but the chances of that happening are like, one in a billion. You know, the nearest star that Voyager will come near would be about 8 light years. Well, a star from here is around eight light years away, which is Sirius, and it might within a light year or so of Sirius. And so, that's 40,000 years. I think they said 40,000 years before it would ever get anywhere near that star. And that's one of the closest stars to us. It's not that far away. I think Sirius is 8 light years away. The closest star to us is Alpha Centauri. You know, it's a 3-star system, and that's roughly 4 light years away. So, maybe now, it might, it's got to travel around the galaxy. The galaxy turns one complete turn every quarter of a billion years, so 250 million years. The galaxy goes all the way around. This thing's going to, follow the galaxy all the way around. So somewhere along the line, maybe it might drift past the star, or, like you said, maybe there's a planet out there, As the eons of time go by, Voyager will get sucked up by some planet, and they have a record on board. In case there's anybody smart enough to read it, they'll be able to read all about humanity that existed, billions of years ago. Back to you.
So there's a lot of information on it. Okay, that answers a lot of my questions. Thanks.
Okay. Very good. Last week there was a launch of another rocket, which I've been following this company, Firefly. It's around 100-foot-tall rocket, roughly 10 stories high. And Firefly is a relatively new company. This was their fifth launch of a rocket. And so far they've only launched out of Vandenberg Air Force Base out in California. but it was a successful flight. They've had a couple of them that had a couple of problems with previous launches. They've worked the bugs out of it. Time goes on. And apparently the government is very happy with this company. They contract with Firefly in case they need to put up the satellite, like tomorrow, in case something gets shot down or blown up or something. They could launch a satellite within 24 hours. So, if the government gets them a satellite or repair satellite or a replacement satellite, they could, at any notice, they could launch it within 24 hours. So that's their thing. Firefly is pretty good at that. And then they've already experimented with that. They had a contract with them saying, within the next couple of months, we're going to just call you up and we're going to say, I'm ready to go. And let's see if you can do it. And they did it. Two launches ago they did that. So very successful at it. They use four Reaper engines. And, a lot of these rockets, they have 9 engines. But the flight, gets to space with 4. And then the first stage separates. It's not a reusable rocket at this stage. And then the second stage ignites with a single Reaper engine. And then off to orbit, and they could launch probably 500 to 1,000 pounds with this thing if they have to. But this time NASA contracted with Firefly. By the way, this rocket is called Alpha, the Alpha rocket, and they contracted to have the Alpha rocket send up 8 CubeSats for NASA. And out of there were different ones from different universities that do different things. One of them is inflatable antenna. You want to see how that works. So you imagine a small CubeSat. A CubeSat is 10 centimeters cubed, roughly 4 inches cubed. And this was, that one was a 6U. Which means anytime you see 6U or 4U, that means 6U would be the equivalent of size of six CubeSats. But anyway, they tested this one that has this inflatable antenna. You can imagine in the future NASA might want to put up a huge inflatable parabolic antenna, and it's not easy to do that. They've done that many times, of course, over the years, different sizes. I think there's a couple of them maybe as big as 70 feet in diameter. But say you really want a big one, how could you do this? You're constrained with size, with weight, So NASA came up with this design, and now it's only on a CubeSat, so it's small. But it's an inflatable addition. And, now it gets to orbit, and what happens is this thing inflates, and it becomes like a, like a ball. I think this is 3 feet in diameter. So now you imagine this, big beach ball up there, 3 feet in diameter, and, on the one side, it's completely clear, the one side of the one hemisphere, completely clear. Radio waves do travel right through that part of the hemisphere of the ball. The other hemisphere has mylar material, and mylar is reflective, so the other half is really like an antenna. It looks like a good idea. I saw that a video on it. It looked pretty good. This thing inflates. Now it's going to receive radio waves. I don't know if they've tested that one yet. It just launched on, Thursday, I think. So we'll have to see. And another one of the satellites, like I said, there's 8 of them from NASA. By the way, these are all by universities put these things together. One of them is called Serenity, it's called Teacher in Space. And what it is that, it's really an OSCAR satellite, orbiting satellite carrying amateur radio. So it's an amateur radio CubeSat. and this thing is supposed to be going to be used by students. I haven't heard the frequency yet. My guess is that'll probably come out on Newsline. I'll have to listen to that. I usually listen to Newsline on tomorrow night, after the swap and shop. They always put it on. But, yeah, you can get it on the computer anytime for a Newsline. And my guess is they'll probably tell you what the frequency is there. What you do is that you would transmit up, ping the satellite, and the satellite would start sending information back, digital information. It's going to have the capability of sending picture back, so I guess it's got a camera to take a picture of the Earth. This is all amateur radio frequencies. And then because you pinged it, it's going to also send you the health of the spacecraft. It'll tell you what the temperature is, and the location in space, or maybe inclination or something, whatever. It's actually going to send you data on that, the health of the spacecraft. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, this is by Firefly. Like I said, it's roughly a 10-story rocket. And it was delayed. It was supposed to go up a couple of days earlier, but they had some ground problems. Not the rocket, but the ground problems going through the rocket. So they needed to delay a couple of days. But it went up successfully. And they have many more launches planned. That was the first for this year. Their last flight was the end of December of last year. But I think they said at least three or four more launches maybe this year. So it's a company that they're actually building bigger engines for bigger rockets. They're involved with two different builds. One for themselves, they plan on building a bigger rocket, and then another one for Grumman, Northrop Grumman. Launches the Antares rocket out of Wild Island, Virginia, and they've been using over the years. I think since 2013, they've been launching the Antares rocket with the Cygnus cargo vehicle that goes to the International Space Station, like I talked about before. So that company, what happened to that Antares rocket is they used, they call them RD-181 engines. Well, they can't use them anymore. The government has scratched that idea due to the problems with Ukraine. So they needed replacements. So Northrop Grumman has contracted with this company, Firefly, to build these bigger engines. They're called Miranda engines. They're going to put a couple of these big honking engines there. They haven't flown yet, but they're going to put these big engines into the Antares rocket to launch further Cygnus spacecraft, not only to the International Space Station, but all the way to lunar orbit as well, to go to the Gateway Space Station in the future, and maybe other space stations that are planned after the International Space Station. Now, this Firefly, they're not fooling around. They're building their own rocket that they plan on eventually launching, not only where they launch now in California, Vandenberg, but they plan on launching from the same complex in Wallops Island, Virginia. So they have two locations. They did want a contract with Florida, but there's so much action and rocket launches taking place in Florida with different companies and all, that Firefly decided to go with Wallops Island, where it's a lot less crowded. They have the Antares launches out of there. You have Rocket Lab launching their Electron rocket. That they've launched a couple of rockets out of Vandenberg already. Out of Wallops Island already. And interesting times for the space industry. Yeah, you have quite a few different small company rockets. A couple of them look like they're out of business, but they're all competing with one another. There's AVL, They had a couple of launches, but they had failures. I think they're toast. Then you have Astra. Astra's another one. Then, of course, you got Relativity Space. They'll launch their first rocket, not next year, but the year after. That'll be medium lift rocket, similar to the Falcon 9 that SpaceX launches. And this one will be 100% reusable by the time they're done, including the second stage. And you have SpaceX, and there's a couple of other ones. So, forward to all the action that's going to be taking place. We'll try to cover them here on the net. But as it is, we're having trouble keeping up with it. For instance, half a year has gone by. Let me drop it. So half of 2024 has gone by. There's already been 125 launches, Earth launches, China and all, Japan. So there's a lot going on. Yeah, talking about China. Oh, wait, let me drop it, see if anybody has any comments. Put it in that.
Paul, I've got one question. Both the Atlas rocket and Delta IV, they're phasing out. Who makes the Vulcan rocket?
Yeah, the United Launch Alliance. That's a combination of Boeing and Lockheed. They call them ULA, United Launch Alliance. They've been building the Delta IV rocket, and they did the Delta II for probably 15, 20 years. Delta II has already been retired for a long time now. But the Delta IV has been around for, I guess they must have had, I'd have to look up how many launches, quite a few launches. The Delta IV, they also had the Delta IV Heavy, and they had about 10 or 12 of those launches. So three Delta IVs bolted together, launch at one time. And these are RS-68 engines. They were called, they were fueled by liquid hydrogen and liquid oxygen. So interesting rocket. But a Delta, when they lit off, it looked like the whole thing was on fire. Big flames would come out all over everywhere, but very successful. Delta IV never had a failure. Delta IV Heavy, same as held true, but it's very expensive to launch these things. So that's why they've decided to retire, both of them, the Delta IV and the Delta IV Heavy, and the other one that they plan on retiring will be the Atlas V rocket as well. They got still quite a few launches left on that one. But what's going to replace it is going to be the Vulcan rocket. It's going to replace both the Delta IV, like you said, and it's going to also replace the Atlas V. Atlas V is they've launched exactly 100 launches, because the last one that they launched was that crew to the that went to the International Space Station on Starliner. The news says they're stranded up there. That story. They're not stranded, by the way. They're very happy up there. And if they need to come back, they can get in that spacecraft and come back tomorrow. You got a couple of rockets, Atlas V, Delta IV, Delta IV Heavy. They're being retired. Vulcan will replace them. Vulcan is a very large rocket. It's running on 2 DE4 liquid methane, liquid oxygen engines built by Blue Origin. Blue Origin is the company that's owned by Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos from Amazon fame. He owns Blue Origin. And they are now building the, and they put these two liquid methane, liquid oxygen engines into the new Vulcan rocket. I guess a while back, I watched the launch. I guess I want to guess 4 or 5 months ago, and that went up successfully. It was a complete successful launch. And they launched a vehicle to the moon on launch number one, you know.
Now, Paul, there's people, when you're launching out of Texas, out of Brownsville, in southern Texas, there are people finding parts of the spaceship, and they're not allowing the people to keep them. They're confiscating the parts.
Did you lose that echo link? WB2BS.
This is AC2GS. Is anyone out there? All of a sudden, everything got quiet. I think the repeater link got broken again.
Yeah, your echo link is up.
Yeah, the All-Star and the echo link, it's supposed to be connected to both repeaters. My surmise is that it only has Glen Oak right now. The Selden went someplace else.
All right, hello, there's your answer.
Boy, I can only hear you on W2BL.
Yeah, I think what happened is the link got broke between W2BL and Selden.
Yes, the repeater said it shut down and it's trying to reset.
Okay, maybe it just needs to reboot. This kind of happened about a couple of months ago as well, towards the end, where it just lost the link between the two major repeaters. So whatever is hooked into Echo Link and All-Star, you know, half of the people in one of the repeater areas hears and the other one doesn't.
Okay, you're back up on both repeaters now.
Okay, very good. Paul, the link failed and had to reestablish itself.
Understood. Is it because I timed it out and it can't handle the timeout anymore? Do you know, Roy?
I was thinking about that. That might have been what happened, although you'd think that other people would do it more frequently. But that seems to be. I mean, I'm looking at the web pages, and there's no real diagnostic codes that come up on those pages. So it might be that it just timed out the All-Star link.
Okay, copy that. So I don't know if you need a repeat on all of that. That was pretty long-winded, Charlie. You okay with that?
Yes, I'm fine. I just had a question about the people walking on the beach in Mexico. They're finding SpaceX parts, and they're not allowed to keep them. They're being confiscated.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, but it's no big surprise there with SpaceX. Surprised there's not a lot more of that going on. He blew up a lot of rockets, so I guess these things are like starting to wash ashore in the Gulf of Mexico, Charlie.
Yeah, I've seen this guy picking up parts, and he tries to get it into the United States, and immigration took it from him. And I was laughing on the stuff in my chair.
Yeah, I don't know if I was that. I'd be trying to throw it in the back of the pickup just to keep it, you know. I got a souvenir, you know. Meanwhile, you find out it's, you know, it's probably some kind of rare earth material that they're using that's, you know, causing cancer or something. They don't use the hypergolic fuels yet on Starliner. No, Starship, they call it Starship. On the Starship, they're the ones that he's been launching there, the 400-foot rockets. But no, I don't think they're using any cancerous materials. Some of the hypergolic ones are cancerous. No? I'm sure there's probably smaller pieces that have come back. I'm sure some people have brought home with them. You know, it's been that one guy in Florida. There was a piece of a NASA satellite that had broken up. This piece come flying through his roof. Went through the roof. I think the first floor. Went through the second floor. It landed in the first floor. I don't think they have any basements in Florida, but, this piece came out flying out of the sky from NASA. That would be something. First time I've heard that, maybe about 30 years ago, they said a piece of space junk came down and hit somebody's car, hit the bumper or something. But, they've been pretty lucky with all the stuff that's going on, especially what I was just about to talk about. This rocket that was launched in China called Tianlong, Tianlong-3 rocket that they just launched last week. They had no intentions of launching it. This is a new rocket. It's supposed to be competing with SpaceX with their Falcon 9 rocket. This is going to eventually be reusable. I think they copied the designs of SpaceX. I mean, I saw a picture of it in the factory. It kind of looked like a Falcon 9 rocket, 9 engines, about the same size. So they brought it out to the launch pad in China. They have 5 different launch complexes around China. This one's Jihang, I think it's called, and they brought it out there, set it all up, and they figured let's run through a wet dress rehearsal, they call it. What's involved there is loading it up with fuel, and seeing how it works, if it holds everything, if it doesn't leak, good, we'll drain it and we'll fill it up again, maybe a week from now, and okay, they fill it all up, and they decide to ignite the engines, 3, 2, 1, and they have these hold down clamps that, all rockets have these hold down clamps before they launch, in case they ignite, they don't go anywhere. Well, apparently the hold down clamps of this massive rocket must have broke loose. Next thing you know, this freaking thing took off, and I saw a video on it. So it goes up, maybe about a mile or so up in the air. But all the engines are on. Apparently the engines worked, but it wasn't supposed to go anywhere. So then it got up, around a mile, and then for some reason the engines quit. Maybe they didn't have enough fuel on board. Maybe they were just testing it. They just wanted to test the engines or something. So now this thing comes flying out of the sky, about a mile away from the complex, and boom, blew up. I mean, what a blast. So somebody must have recorded this in China. So anyway, it's a rocket. It's got about the same thrust as the Falcon 9, 1.7 million pounds of thrust. That's what the Falcon 9 uses at liftoff. So it sounds like a direct, carbon copy of one of our rockets. Go figure. Any comments?
China expects to make 100 launches this year.
Yeah, I think they're up to probably around 30 or 40 now. They're trying to get at least 100 launches in. Well, like I said before, here we are halfway through the year. Maybe I timed out when I said that. Halfway through the year, and 150 Earth launches, between United States, China, India, and they main launch people, of course. European Space Agency is a little slow right now, although on the 9th, coming up on July 9th, European Space Agency has a big launch in French Guiana, Kourou, French Guiana. That's where they launch out of. They retired Ariane 5 rocket. Ariane 5 has been around, since probably the late 1990s. and very successful launch vehicle. It's a heavy lift vehicle. You know, it's got similar thrust to the space shuttle when they used to launch that, probably around 5 million pounds of thrust. You know, it's got liquid hydrogen, liquid oxygen engines, two solid boosters attached to it. And now that's been retired. Now they're going to launch the Ariane 6 rocket, which has been, again, in development probably about 10 years. And it's late to getting to the launch complex, but, you know, all rocket development always winds up a year or two late. So they plan on launching on the 9th, and we'll see how that goes. Put them back in business. You know, every country wants to have three types of rockets to launch. We have them. And you have a low mass rocket, then you have medium, and then you have heavy duty ones. So you want low, medium, and high, you know. And European Space Agency had all that. They had the Vega going up with solid booster. That was a vehicle that would put, you know, maybe 1,000, 2,000 pounds into orbit. Then they had the medium sized vehicle, which was the Soyuz. They would buy a Soyuz rocket, same rockets that Russia launches, and they would launch them from French Guiana. They set up a whole complex there. Put a medium lift vehicles. So they had that. Now that's all been canceled because of Ukraine. They don't buy any more Soyuz rockets from Russia anymore. Of course, they had the Ariane 5 rocket. Like I just said, that's now being retired. Ariane 5. For instance, one of their last launches was the James Webb Space Telescope, and they launched it for NASA. Which a perfect launch, and of course that all went well. So now you have the Ariane 6 about to launch a few days. Let's see, what's today? Today's the 7th. That would be Tuesday. I'll have to either watch the replay or I'm not sure what time they're going to launch. But they're very close to the equator down there. So they got a little extra push when they launch to the spin of the Earth. So, there you go. Pretty much all I have. Ariane 6, I'll look forward to two more days. And for now, what I understand, the crew is on, you know, is safe on the International Space Station. 9 people on board. And look forward to Sonny Williams, who's a ham, by the way, coming back. Not too distant future with Butch Wilmore, and that'll make the news when that comes home. You know, you know, NASA does these things. By the way, there's a movie coming out. I got to see this movie. I think it's Friday. Let me drop it. And Take Me to the Moon, I think is the name of it. So it'll be in the movie theaters. And it's supposed to be a film about, you know, the Apollo days, where NASA is a little worried that maybe the Apollo mission might not make it to the moon. And the government was worried that the Russians might beat us there. So the whole movie deals with setting up a film situation where everything's faked. Where they don't, you know, where they could actually tell people that they landed on the moon, but it's all going to be fake. So this thing, I mean, I think it's something like 1/6 of the population still believes we didn't go to the moon. So it's probably going to be a very popular movie. You know, if you look at the trailer, it looks pretty good. So I'll have to see Fly Me to the Moon. Should be good. Any comments? WS to us.
Yeah, what movie theater is this in?
I don't know. I hope all of them. You know, when the movie, there was a documentary that came out a while back that was only in selected movie theaters. I wasn't happy about that. But that had to do with opportunity. Mars rover that was running around on Mars for 14 years. That was a very good documentary. But, you know, only some movie theaters had it. This looks like it's going to be probably in all the movie theaters, I'm going to guess. You know, all the Regals and, you know, whatever is out there. I mean, if you watch the trailer, Fly Me to the Moon, and then put it into the computer, I'm sure it'll come up. And from what I understand, Friday, this coming Friday, would be the release time. Back to you, Charlie.
I'm going to look it up right now while you got a minute.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll be here for another minute or two. But, yeah, I'm going to turn it back over to Roy. We'll stand by for you if you're going to look that up, Charlie. You got a computer nearby? Bye.
Doing it right now as we talk.
Yeah, and it's too hot for me. I do better in the cold weather. The news never talks about a drought. As far as I'm concerned, this is a drought. You know, I can pretty much keep track of whenever it rains.
Time complete.
And from January until April, you know, we had, you know, many, many days of rain. But then after that, at the end of April, maybe first week of May or something, I haven't seen any rain. I mean, one time, a couple of days ago, we had a downpour lasted literally 3 minutes. That was it, you know. So everything's kind of drying up out here. I thought with the 4th of July, there was going to be problems. I didn't hear anything on the news. You know, everything's so dry. You know, one firecracker, you know, light somebody's lawn up, I guess. Charlie, are you back? WSON.
Yes, I'm here. It says Fly Me to the Moon, official trailer, Apple TV.
Apple TV, that's not good. You mean it's not going to be in a movie theater?
Giving me the impression, yes.
That's not good. You know, that's what happened with For All Mankind, you know. One season after the other. I haven't seen one of them. There's been hundreds of episodes of this thing. You know, to go out and buy another streaming service every time something else comes out, you know, that'll drive you nuts. Okay. Well, I'll look for it. Maybe
Scarlett Johansson?
Maybe it'll be out in the movie theaters as well. Hopefully. We'll see. Thanks, Charlie. I'm going to turn this back over to Roy. Say 73. We'll be on tomorrow night during the club InfoNet, followed by Swap and Chop, like I said earlier, followed by Newsline. GSWS2N. Thanks for letting us do the SpaceNet report for the TechNet. Back to you.
This is Kilo Echo 2, Alpha Juliet Uniform. Until next week.
Okay. It's going to be in theaters near you. There's an endless list. The Alamo Draft House, AMC, all kinds of things. So don't worry, it'll be available. It has a very good cast. So they probably spent a great deal of money on it. So it'll be available in theaters. Anyway, thank you, Paul, as always. Thank you for all that you do with the SpaceNet Report, and all that you do with the technical net, and all that you do with the club. We all appreciate it. I especially do appreciate it. Appreciate everyone who participates weekly and tonight. Hope you'll join us next Sunday at 8 p.m. when we try and do it all over again. Our rebels now are done, and as I often will remind people, Dick K2RIW, who ran the show for many, 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 many years, which usually ended with advice to be kind to each other, so please do that. And I like to always add, good old Epictetus, it's impossible for a man to learn what he thinks he already knows. So try and keep your mind open to new ideas. Don't make it wide open or your brain will fall out, but, you know, be open to new ideas. And as always, I wish you a safe and happy week. Have fun, enjoy the summer, don't get dehydrated, drink lots of fluids, be well. And we'll talk next month, next Sunday. And as I'm given to do, I will end this particular episode of the Technical Net and go clear after I say Slava Ukraini.
Good night, guys.
W2VL repeater.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Thank you. Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Mark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
RBP listen and mobile. Set to Romeo Bravo Papa Matt, listen and anybody in frequency. Heard, Ankle RBP clear. This to RBP listen.
Welcome to the W1HEN repeater system.
Flymark InfoNet, tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Welcome to the W1HEN repeater system. This is the W1HEN.